Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we spoke to Ben Littleton, who's an author and journalist, about Ralph Rangnick, a man he's got to know pretty well over the years. He's Manchester United's new interim boss. And he kind of took us inside his mind, didn't he? The way he's thinking around football. He was very, very interesting. Greg Lansdowne joined us, the author of a wonderful new book on the subject of Panini stickers. Always good to see him.
Yeah.
And Todd Macklin brought us some great stories.
It's some very good stories
this
week,
today. So some of it Thanksgiving related. We had a chat.
We did.
You got involved, as you always do. Here it all is. 7 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy, and happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very nice. Yes.
Not revealing your age, like
absolutely
people from,
not.
People from Hollywood.
Far too old, I think. Still, never mind. What can you do? You can't avoid them. And yes, it wasn't a great result for your lot last night, was it? It wasn't brilliant, to say the least, really.
Do you know what? I don't think I've done this for years. When they scored at the end, I laughed.
Yes, I know. I was surprised. I didn't know the result. And you did well not to tip the wink to me.
No, I didn't want to tell you either way. But
I was surprised when they scored.
It was so bad, it was comically bad. So, look, we are going to have a chat with Paul Jiggins very shortly. So I might probably keep my powder dry on that one because I've got some stuff. Paul's covered Tottenham for years. It's been on his patch for the Sun for many years. And he's seen managers come and go, quite a lot of them, of course, over the years. And the great thing about Conte at the moment is that because his English isn't great, and I think it will, like it was at Chelsea, it got better and better the more he was here, but he's not been here for a while, and he has no filter at all. No. So what he says is exactly what's on his mind, and he can't couch it in a slightly more digestible way for the board. So what he basically...
I doubt whether he'd do that in Italian, to be really honest.
No, probably not, but just, I mean, he's very early in the job, but the line where he said, look, I'm happy to stay. I was thinking, I'm happy to stay. No. But it was more the stuff around... I can only do so much. Yeah. It's about ambition. There has to be ambition at the club, you know. And all the analogies he was using, this thing about, you know, the car, you can do this to the car and that to the car, but sometimes that's not enough. It's exactly what Pochettino was saying when he was talking about better furniture. The thing is, I think sometimes people look at Tottenham, they get seduced by the real estate and they think, wow, look at that training ground, look at that stadium, the team must be
they've
good.
They've also got some very good players.
They've
got
a very good front three. They have a core of good players, but they have a bunch of players there
that should have been moved on ages ago
that have got quite mentally and creatively flabby and cannot be there for much longer. I think we all know they are. We'll discuss them with Paul in a moment. But there is a big problem there, but basically because in Daniel Levy's eyes, you know, Tottenham is Hotel California, and he doesn't let players go because I think he worries about what it looks like on paper. If you're going to take, what sort of hit are you going to take on Ndombele, for example? You could send him out on loan, but who's going to want to spend 200 grand a week on his wages and maybe not pick any of them up, from our point of view, for a bloke that hasn't proved it in the Premier League? Dele Alli, again, who's going to spend 80, 90, 100,000 pounds a week and a loan fee, which I'll take it Tottenham would want, for a guy who's not had a good game for 3 years? I mean, these guys are not going to be easy. They're not going to be easy to get out on loan because of their wages, unless Tottenham pick up a big chunk of them. So there's lots of problems, but we'll come on to that with Paul in a moment. On to happier things. You got happier things?
I've got happier things.
Oh, good.
And I've always loved the double-barreled name in football, and he's brilliantly named. Ian Dewsbury-Hall came on for Leicester.
Oh, wow.
When he came on for Leicester against Chelsea, someone on the Chelsea website said, oh, yeah, we got married there. It's a lovely place.
Yeah, that's
right. It was brilliant.
Players that sound like wedding venues. Is there any more than that? I don't don't know. No. Ian Dewsbury Hall. That's very nice. yeah, it was a lovely.
They got married at Gareth Hall.
Yeah, they did it. It's going to be. I think we can see beyond halls. I know it's not easy.
Yeah.
But what was Dewsbury Hall like? It well, they laid on. We had bacon sandwiches at midnight. Firework display. They couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
They couldn't have been nicer at Dewsbury Hall. Definitely not.
And
so anyway, let's set that up. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
And Novak Djokovic may miss the Australian Open because he's named Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, that's well. Yeah, absolutely. Why not? It could
and
work.
Joanna Konta may miss the Australian Open for the same reason. I don't know how we'll survive without her first round exit.
Mm. Yes, that's right. You see, they've soon turned on her now. Emma's come along.
Oh, yes,
it's all Emma this
now.
And Emma that, you know. But Joanna, she can do one by the sound of it, Andy.
And they're about to trial it's the Qatar Cup next week. I can't wait.
Yeah.
And they're going to trial. It's a football tournament in Qatar, I think, to test the stadium.
Oh, so like the sort of confederations that they've always done in the past. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to trial automatic offside. And I was thinking about this. What is the point of it? What it does is it alerts the assistant, not the assistant, the assistant.
Yeah.
It alerts the assistant to the fact that there's been an offside, and then he has to decide whether the player is interfering with play. So what's the point when we've got VAR already? I can't see how this is going to work.
Is this the kind of robo-lino thing they're talking about? So they're going to test it there.
They're going to test it next week.
So it won't be like a watch system. It won't take it out of the hands of the lino.
No, because it can't decide. It can only decide the line. It can't decide whether somebody was interfering with play.
Well, that's just an extra layer of nonsense.
Well, it is. That's exactly what I'm saying to you. It's an extra layer of nonsense.
And if you say, if we've got VAR, why aren't they looking at that? Why, you know, they don't need that particularly. We don't need to.
Yeah.
That's strange, isn't it? So what will it do? Will it be like an audible? How will it work?
Exactly as I say. It just lets the assistant know that there's been an offside. And then he has to decide. I can't think that it's going to be helpful at all. And you're still going to have to review it on VAR anyway. Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot. I mean, it'd be great for you to win it because it's 137 million. You could keep a little bit for yourself and pass the rest on for Tottenham by a few players.
Well, yeah, I'm after last night, I'm very keen to invest in my club, really. They've been sending me emails today, go and spend money in the club shop. I was thinking, they've got some brass. last night, yeah. Wear your colours.
Not the best day for it.
The email said something like, wear your colours with pride.
Oh,
what's that? They didn't last night.
No, not
at all. 11. So why am I expected to do it at my expense?
And Camelot's winner's advisor, Andy Carter, has said, players are urged to get their tickets early to be in with a chance. What difference does it make? As long as you get your ticket before the draw starts.
Yeah.
What advantage is there in getting it in early? There isn't. No advantage at all. They don't give you special priority. Oh, he bought his last week. Put him to the top of the pile.
Well, look, we will drill down in the comments of Antonio Conte after that defeat last night. Their UEFA coefficient, if you were looking for an equivalent in English football, UEFA coefficient would have them as Accrington Stanley or Burton Albion. So Tottenham last night lost to Accrington Stanley away. So there we are. There's some context on it for you, with respect, as we always are duty bound to say, to Accrington Stanley, who are a fine club, well run, with a fine chairman. But that's not the point. Tottenham shouldn't be losing
well
to
said.
Them. Tottenham shouldn't be losing to them. I nearly got married at David Villa. That's a lovely place in Spain. Lovely, lovely place, yeah. We got married in the Colton in Parma. Says, no, nice place to go. Thank you, Reese, for that.
Very good.
So maybe it wasn't Ian Dewsbury Hall. We've got more. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, we've just been told by, it's actually Kiernan Dewsbury Hall, not Ian. Where I got
I
Ian
know,
from.
I don't know why.
Did you say Ian?
I said Ian.
I think you prefer the old names to the new names. And Adrian Darren.
I wrote down Ian, so no, I must have had the conversation last night, must have said
it's
Ian.
It's Kiernan Dewsbury Hall. Adrian was telling us when he was at Luton on loan last season, I said on game day, Dewsbury Hall with the goal. Pretty sure I saw the Kaiser Chiefs there in the early days.
Oh, well done, Adrian.
Yes. But some people, so they got married at Kiernan and Dewsbury Hall, which they really loved. And somebody got married at Simon Church. That was Marcho, told
Fair
us that.
Fair enough, really.
I got married in my mate Jeff's horse field. Says, so did you really? So one of those sort of tent ones. That's Anthony, the West Brom fan. And the best exotic Marigold Hotel have opened a new location at the marvellous Nakamba.
Fabulous.
We have a marvellous Nakamba. You always do it in the style of Bruce Forsyth for some reason. A lovely time of year.
Idea of getting married. One guy said, I got married on the beach at Habib Bay.
Habib Bay's a lovely place for a reception. Yeah, thank you, Marcho, for that. He's on fire at the moment. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and JM. Me and the missus, says Jake in Eastbourne, finally had a wonderful wedding at the beautiful Ashley Barnes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, after a long flirtation with English football, he's been linked to the England job, the Chelsea job, so many jobs in England. He's long wanted to coach here. Ralf Rangnick gets his chance at Manchester United in an interim role with a consultancy, bolted onto that. But who knows? Maybe if he does such a great job, he'll keep the gig. Joining us now is a man who spoke to him extensively for his book, Edge, What Business Can Learn from Football. And so I even asked him 2 years ago what was going wrong at Manchester United. Writing about it today in The Guardian is Ben Littleton. Good afternoon, Ben.
Hello, chaps.
Yeah, so...
Did he say it was the manager, previous manager?
Yeah, he said, yeah, they got it. What can you kind of pricey what he said then? What was wrong at United 2 years ago?
Well, he was very diplomatic, I would say. Mm. And he spoke about the traditions of the managerial system at United, where, because they were so successful under Sir Alex Ferguson, that all the power and all the control would be delegated to the one person that was in charge of the team. And he called it a trainager. So it was a head coach, manager, also involved head of recruitment, sporting director. All the power was in the hands of one person. When that person leaves, of course, all that knowledge leaves as well, which is what United have found in the 8 years since Sir Alex Ferguson has left the club. And so looking at how Liverpool, how Manchester City, how other successful clubs in the Premier League have been run, where the head coach's job is to work with the players and improve the players. And then there are other people in the organisation who recruit the players, who look after the academy, who do other areas of the performance side of things. They're successful like that. And whenever United changed coach, it would be from one extreme to the other, from Moyes to Giggs, from Giggs to Van Gaal, from Van Gaal to Mourinho, from Mourinho to Solskjaer. And in a way, they've gone the total opposite again, from Solskjaer to Rangnick, who doesn't have the emotional connection with the club, but is about organisation, process, structure, and crucially, an identity, a playing philosophy, something that United have clearly lacked in the last few seasons.
He has a lot of very successful disciples, but, you know, his own record, maybe this is to do with the type of clubs he's been able to manage. He hasn't actually won anything, has he? No, he's done well.
That's a good point. A lot of people have been making it. I mean, you know, a lot of Manchester United fans were turning up their nose at Pochettino because he'd never won anything. And this guy hasn't won anything.
That's right, yeah. Well, Pochettino is the obvious example, isn't it? You can only win with the teams you've got. I mean, he took Hoffenheim from the third division to seventh in the Bundesliga. He took Leipzig from the second division to the Champions League semi-final. So it's about how you measure success. And do you measure it in terms of just a trophy, or do you measure it in how you leave a club after you've left and what position that club is in beyond that? And in terms of legacy, certainly at Red Bull and at Hoffenheim, who is still high-performing Bundesliga team, at Red Bull, it's a seamless transition now. Their coaching, succession planning is so organised. The team has a really clearly identifiable style of play. They know which players will come in. They know which coaches are going to replace the ones in place. And in a way, that I think is more important to United than this appointment as interim manager. I think his work as the consultancy work, which at the moment it feels a little vague, but that could be more decisive in the long run for Manchester United and more significant and more important than what he does in the next 6 months. Because in that period, he'll be appointing a new coach, he'll be recruiting players. And already he's been influential in the Premier League. We know he's been an important figure in the influence of Tuchel, of Klopp, of Hasenhüttl, three of his proteges already in the Premier League. But four players at Liverpool have come through the Red Bull system. Yeah. Mane, Firmino, John Matip and Naby Keita, all former Red Bull players. So this sense that if he can sort out the recruitment at United and leave it in a better state than it is now, it could be a very important role for him.
You talk about recruitment, but they've got a brilliant squad of players. You know, they've been so massively underperforming, it's ridiculous. You know, they have got quality there in their team.
They need an identity, don't they? I mean, there is a feeling that it'll give them, you know, they had had a real identity under Sir Alex Ferguson. You knew the way that Manchester United would play. But that's been lacking since, isn't it, really?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you know what you're going to get with a Rangnick team, which is organisation and pressing. So what's interesting to me is that Rangnick has spoken often about how he likes his teams to press, how he wants them to set up when they've got the ball and when they haven't got the ball, and then how they react in transitions. So as soon as you lose the ball, they want to win the ball back within 5 seconds, and they want to shoot on goal within 10 seconds of winning the ball back. And all this stuff is trained, practiced, worked really hard on. And so it's not going to be a question of in the next few weeks, we're going to see United play a totally different way, which will be successful. But there is a sense that this is how he wants them to play, and it should work because it's worked before. However, Rangnick hasn't sat on the bench as a head coach for 2 years. And you could say that the methods of Klopp, of Tuchel and Hasenhüttl have all evolved and changed since they've worked under Rangnick. So the challenge for Rangnick is to see if he can tweak this general sense of high pressing and high tempo vertical football and make it work with this group of players in this current situation where United are seventh in the league and have clear targets to achieve.
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a nine-man pressing unit, isn't it? Because he's not going to get Cristiano to. Yeah. He can't. He just can't.
Well, that's going to be the intriguing thing. Did he strike you in your conversations when you talked to him about his philosophy as a manager, as someone that would indulge a player if they weren't able to play in the way that he demands?
Well, I can't remember what your watershed is for swear words, but he did talk to me about the mentality and the importance of mentality. Now, we know Ronaldo's got great mentality, but he says the biggest untapped potential lies in the footballer's brain, and mentality relates to the effort you put in. So he's demanding so much of his players, but he does say, you know, it doesn't matter how talented a player is. If the mentality is beep, then forget about it. So he is really going to demand buy-in from the players. But I think he'll get that because players at this level want to be taught. They want to be coached. They're open to improvement and development. And some of them might think that hasn't been the case for them in the last few seasons at United. So this is really an opportunity for them to improve their skill set as well.
Did he impress you finally when you, I mean, you've had a few conversations with him. Did you come away from those impressed? If you were a Manchester United fan, Ben, which I'm not sure whether you are or not, but if you were, how would you be feeling about this appointment based on your conversations with him?
Yeah, no, I'd be excited, Paul. I'm not a United fan, but I've met him many times in the last 8 years. And every time I've met him, I've come away having learned something new, inspired in different ways, and wishing that my club would have signed him. So I don't know if I can say more than that, but I think it's a good appointment for United. And as I said at the beginning, not so much the next 6 months, but more for the 2 years after that, will be really setting his legacy in place for future success for the club.
Wow, so that's some endorsement. Is Edge still available if the United fans want to read a bit more about him?
It is. The paperback is called Edge: Leadership Secrets from Football's Top Thinkers. And it's been something of a, well, what's the opposite of a curse? Of a Midas touch for coaches. Because I spoke to Graham Potter before he came to the Premier League, Didier Deschamps before he won the World Cup, even Thomas Tuchel before he won the Champions League. So there are lots of secrets from top coaches in the game who revealed all to me in Edge.
Brilliant. Good to talk to you, Ben. Well, all the best. Ben.
Thank you.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, just for the break, we set you a little trivia question. We asked you who was the oldest outfield player in England's 2002 World Cup finals squad, the one that went to Japan and Korea. Any ideas, Andy?
Bobby Charlton.
No, 2002, give us some clues. He played for Tottenham, Manchester United, Millwall.
Teddy Sheringham.
Teddy Sheringham. Mm. Absolutely right. Well done if you got that right. For more sports trivia and fun, grab yourself a copy of the new TalkSport quiz book, available now from Amazon and all good bookstores. And anything else you want to share with the class?
Yeah, it's really a very interesting article in the Times. We've talked about this before. The Church of Maradona. I think it's coming up to Maradona's the anniversary.
I think it was this week.
Was it this week? Yeah, I know it was around this time. And they went and had a chat with the people from the Church of Maradona in Argentina. I didn't realise, and they've got this photo. The baptism, to get into the church, you have to recreate the hand of God.
Really?
How good is that with their white
robes? You're not sort of dipped in the font or anything. You recreate the hand of God. They're still rubbing it in now, aren't they?
I know, yeah. Well, they're never going to let it go, let's be honest.
Well, we mentioned Kieran and Dewsbury Hall of Leicester earlier on, and Andy was saying what a lovely venue for a wedding. And you've been responding for
that. It was someone else's line, I should.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's good of you to. Marcho's back. He said he got married in a cafoodral. Yeah,
that's
I'm
rubbish.
Not sure Mark hasn't quite worked that, mate.
Do next week's birthday.
This is quite a nice one, though. Where's it gone? Steady Eddie said, in order to propose to my wife of 25 years, I took her to Coventry and asked her to marry me while standing on Trevor Peak. It's a lovely spot, isn't it? It always looks good. Always looks good in the pictures, I find. That's right. We had our wedding photos taken at the very picturesque Wayne Bridge. Yeah. Always
lovely,
nice.
Yeah. Very nice.
Nice touches there from the listeners. Romantics. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. And I mean, I don't know where this one's come from. While shopping in Smith Row, an arcade in Mayfair, I slipped badly and was taken to hospital and was kept in Ward Prowse overnight, says Canary Mark. You've got nothing to do with weddings.
No, but
we
good.
Know where you're going with that, Mark. Okay, if you want to expand it, then
like it.
We'll keep going down that route.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been getting in touch about, look, it's all got very silly. If you've just joined us, you'll be wondering what the heck's going on this afternoon, but Kieran Dewsbury Hall was the springboard for you telling us about where you proposed to your other half and where you held your wedding, because a number of people are interested in booking Kieran Dewsbury Hall for their wedding. He's the Leicester player. I had a lovely weekend break at Courtney. Well, it's not really house, is it? So it depends how you check the pronunciation.
Don't
says
give it the
David.
Real pronunciation.
Doesn't really work. Tom Malone says, everyone says our wedding was a big success. I think it's because we had a free Denver bar. So there we are. He's taking it in a slightly different direction.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Greg Lansdowne, who's the author of a new book on the wonderful world of Panini stickers. He's here shortly.
Hawksby and Jacobs on TalkSport with Green King Pubs. Download the season ticket app for great offers and chances to win every week. Green King, your home of pub sports.
As a builder, you quote on a job, but often get a shock when you pay for your materials. But not at Travis Perkins. With their Trade Essentials range, they constantly check their prices on all the stuff we need most. Right now, they've got Thistle Multi-Finish Plaster, just £5.69 a bag, and C2KS Simpson Wall Starter Kits, 2.4 metre, £8.99 each. Get these online, on the app or in branch. With Travis Perkins Trade Essentials, they check the prices, so I can crack on. Travis Perkins, doing what matters for the trade. Prices ex-20% VAT.
Dell's Black Friday event has arrived, and it's the perfect time to step up your creativity and save up to 50% on the latest tech. Get more done with the latest XPS and Alienware systems featuring Intel Core processors. Intelligent performance with 11th Gen Intel Core i7. Plus, save on top monitors and accessories, all with great financing options. Shop Dell's biggest sale of the year today at dell.co.uk/Black Friday. Limited availability, so hurry while stock last. T's and C's apply.
This is just your local unfriendly burglar looking for his next home to break into. He sees a house and he thinks, ooh, this looks very nice indeed. But then he notices the home is protected by Swan security cameras and he walks away. With Swan security, you can prevent crime, not be the victim of one. Latest products include the Extreme Wireless Camera, Enforcer 4K Ultra HD security systems and a brand new Swan Buddy smart video doorbell. Available today at curries.co.uk with £50 off. Turn your home sweet home into a home safe home with Swan security.
Get your free £5 ACCA with Boyle Sports ACCA Loyalty. Place five £5 ACCAs across any sports and Boyle Sports will give you a sixth one free. Download the Boyle Sports betting app today. Also available for Boyle Extra customers in your nearest Boyle Sports shop. Boyle Sports. This is Betting. 18 plus, 5 legs or more per acca. Minimum combined odds, 3-1. See boysports.com/promotions for full terms and conditions. Bet responsibly. BeGambleAware.org.
Disney's 60th animated classic arrives.
Are you ready?
Experience it fully in cinemas. From the creators of Frozen and the musical minds behind Moana.
Let's go!
Critics agree it's one of the best Disney films of the modern era.
I will save the magic.
Wait, how do I save the magic?
Disney's Encanto. Don't miss it in cinemas now.
Drive on TalkSport with WeBuyAnyCar.com.
Double-headed drive-time debate that's fast.
That's the name of the game. It's football.
Furious.
He's only doing it to wind me up. You don't really believe.
And fanatical about football.
Normally I agree with you, but I think you've lost the plot.
Get more Goal Talk to the Gallon on the radio show that's guaranteed to go the distance. Drive. This afternoon from 4 on TalkSport with WeBuyAnyCar.com.
Join over 2.5 million happy customers by entering your reg number now.
Talk Sport Sports Headlines with Bostik, a leading brand in construction for over 130 years. For high-performance building chemicals and waterproofing systems you can rely on. Trust Bostik.
Steve tells us Andy proposed to his wife while they were on top of Mason Mount. Lovely. Lovely spot to do it, really. As we say, the pictures are always impressive. Anyway, the picture's very impressive in our next guest book. Panini football stickers, the official celebration. We'll be chatting to him shortly. Don't forget 4 o'clock. It's Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent with Drive, but let's get the sport with Toby Gillies.
Good afternoon. Southampton have apologised for the club's failure to protect its young players from convicted paedophile Bob Higgins during the 70s and 80s. A review into the club's actions says it persistently failed them. Jurgen Klopp says Ralf Rangnick's arrival in the Premier League will be bad news for the rest of the clubs. Manchester United are hoping to finalise Rangnick's appointment as interim manager in the next 48 hours. And confirmation that Ben Chilwell has suffered what's described as a partial ACL injury. Thomas Tuchel says the knee problem will keep him out for at least 6 weeks.
International cricket returns to TalkSport 2.
Oh, the finger's gone up!
TalkSport 2 is the only place to hear live and exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of the first test match between New Zealand and India, live from Green Park, Kanpur.
And he's just hit through the line for six.
Featuring a big-hitting commentary lineup, including Neil Manthorpe, Jarrod Kimber, Steve Harmison and Gareth Batty.
Bowled him! There's no doubt about this one!
Exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of India versus New Zealand, live from Kanpur. Continues tomorrow morning from 4.
Exclusively on TalkSport 2.
Listen on DAB+,
online and via the TalkSport app.
This is a lovely Christmas present we have in our hands for Dad. Yes. I'd say for Dad, or, you know, because it's a bit of nostalgia in there. It's Panini football stickers, the official celebration, a nostalgic journey through the world of Panini. And it has been put together by Greg Lansdowne. Good afternoon, Greg.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
A pleasure, yes. Lovely book. I mean, it's sort of full colour, as you'd expect. And you go through the different albums of different vintages. How many colour pictures did you say you had of the stickers?
I haven't counted them, but I think there are about 2,000 images on there. And all different, so no doubles on this occasion.
And you give us a nice history of the Panini sticker and the company at the start of the book. What do you think the appeal is of these things?
I think in terms of why they're successful now and they were successful 60 years ago, collecting Panini stickers is the same experience in 1961-62 as it is for the Premier League album that comes out in a couple of weeks. You open your packets, then you build up a community with your friends, trying to swap everybody with a common goal, trying to fill the album. Some people getting one over on the other, and that making their day at school or down the office these days with older people collecting, and because it's Panini, you know what you're going to get, a standardised album where you got all the right players with the right kits, whereas some of the other manufacturers in the old days, they are a bit dubious with some of the stickers that they put. But with Panini, you know you're going to get a great product.
Yeah. The expectations were different. I mean, kids expect a whole lot more now, you seem to think. And it's like, this is analog in a digital age, but they still love it and it still works.
Yeah, I mean, Panini they are keeping up with the times. Yeah. They do digital collections. Cards are very popular now. They're even into their NFTs.
But I was just about to ask
you.
Yeah,
non-fungible.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably for another conversation. Yeah. NFT. I mean, as you say, this is this is strictly analog with all the great haircuts, all the great moustaches from the 80s. But it covers from the 60s to now, and I think there's something for everyone in there.
Do you know who coined the phrase "got needed"?
Well, it was originally in Italian. Cello Manca, I believe. I haven't pronounced that very well.
That's all right.
That's where it started, and then it just got adapted into various languages. Obviously, it was kids in the playground.
Yeah.
They would either say "got need" or "got not got."
Yeah.
It was only about I think for the 2014 World Cup that Panini appropriated it for their official Twitter hashtag. Mm. It is one of the phrases that's synonymous with Panini.
Is there you looked at different collections, as we said, throughout the ages. Is there one very coveted collection here? There's a bit of a holy grail of Panini collections.
Yeah, it's Mexico 70.
Right.
And the reason, especially in the UK, the reason for that is that it wasn't distributed very well in the UK. So few people have it. So some of the individual stickers and cards go for about £1,000 alone.
Wow. One I collected, that was. Yeah, I remember.
So is that the most valuable one?
Yeah.
Be that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's down in some ways. You say in the book that probably the best way, the most valuable way of keeping, if you're looking to get some value out of them down the line, is not to stick the stickers in the book.
You're right. That is sad. And I think over the last couple of years, due to the pandemic, a lot of North American collectors discovered Panini football stickers or soccer to them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they started buying up stickers that you could previously get for a couple of pounds. And now they're going for £100 or even more. So, for instance, I mentioned Paul Gascoigne's rookie first Panini sticker, Football 87. You could have got that for £1 a couple of years ago on eBay. Now, if it's in good condition, it will be at least £100.
Wow-wee.
Did you meet people who have very comprehensive collections?
Unfortunately, because of the pandemic, I had to rely very much on my own collections. But as luck would have it, in terms of the classic Football 78, Football 93, I had the majority of them. And the ones that I didn't, Bloomsbury very kindly let me make some purchases in on eBay. So I've actually built up my collection by writing the book.
And have you got a favourite collection, Greg? Is there one that you love the most?
Yeah, Football 79 because of the silky badges. So for Panini, we're used to the shiny foils.
Yeah.
But Football 79, they did something a bit different, and it was a denim like silk finish. Unfortunately, when we tried to take them for the book, and they didn't actually come out very well. So there is one on the front cover of the album, which you can see. But I had a talk at a place called the Tap In Elephant and Castle last week, and there were a couple of Panini representatives there, and that they hinted that there's a possibility they may bring those badges back.
What's the biggest market globally? You've got them from around the world. Where were they most popular?
Well, I think you've got to say Europe is where it started, and you've got the likes of Italy, UK, Spain, France,
Germany, big as well.
Yeah, Panini don't actually do the domestic album there at the moment, but they have still got a great history, and obviously they've got the World Cup and the Euros that they do. But I mean, South America is also massive. In the Brazil 2014 World Cup, there was a lorry with about $250,000 worth of Panini stickers that got hijacked. That's how desperate they are.
Wow. It's a huge business. Reading the book, they employ 1,200 people, don't they? Which is a lot. You'd imagine there's nothing like that for some reason. I don't know why. But
well, they've got headquarters now in Italy, which they've had for 60 years, but they've also got them in South America and North America. And North America, when it comes to sports collectibles, that really is the mecca. Baseball cards was probably where it really started in America, but now it's that there's hundreds of sports card shops in America, whereas we've just got one in Brighton at the moment. But hopefully that will grow.
Everybody's going to dig out their 87 Gazza, I would think. And just finally, there's women's collections as well, isn't it? The World Cups, have been doing the Women's World Cups as well, haven't they?
Yeah, they've done three Women's World Cups and one Euro so far. So some people might say, well, There's only three women on the back and front cover at the moment. But if you think about it, that's probably actually over-representation in terms of the albums. But if I was to do this again in 10 years, I'm sure there would be far more women on there.
Yeah. Well, it's a lovely book, Greg. And people are going to love it, I'm sure, for Christmas. It's definitely one for your dad. You can spend hours ploughing through this. So it's Panini Football Stickers, the official celebration by Greg Lansdowne, a nostalgic journey through the world of Panini, published by Bloomsbury Sport, and is out now. You'll find it in all good bookshops, Amazon, etc. Good to see you, Greg. Thanks
for having me on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been getting in touch about look, it's all got very silly. If you've just joined us, you'll be wondering what the heck's going on this afternoon. But Kiernan Dewsbury Hall was the springboard for you telling us about where you proposed to your other half and where you held your wedding, because a number of people are interested in booking Kiernan Dewsbury Hall for their wedding. He's the Leicester player. I had a lovely weekend break at Courtney. Well, it's not really house, is it? So it depends how you check the pronunciation.
Don't
says
give it the
David.
Real pronunciation.
Doesn't really work. And Tom Malone says, everyone says our wedding was a big success. I think it's because we had a free Denver bar. So there we are. He's taking it in a slightly different direction.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Yes, time to talk American sport now, as always, with our man Todd Macklin. Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, boys.
Well, we're going to start with the NBA. And last Sunday, big fallout in the game between the Lakers and the Pistons. And LeBron James was ejected, wasn't he?
He was, but I've never seen a sportsman lose it like Isaiah Stewart. I've never seen that. I mean, I've seen them go mad, but that was just incredible.
Before we talk about it, let's give you a flavour of what went on. You really need to watch it to see just how much he lost it. He kept coming back to try and get at LeBron James, saying, I'm okay, I'm fine, I've calmed down. And when they'd let him go, he'd run after him again. But this is just a little bit of the commentary from the night.
Uh-oh. Stewart and LeBron... Stewart is hot, and everybody's coming out now.
Yeah, he must have caught an elbow or something, but...
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of blood streaming from the side of the eye. Look, here goes Stewart!
Yeah, it was...
A lot of damage. Mouth, cheek, eye.
It looked like a sort of boxer's cut, Todd, didn't it? It was a bad one.
Yeah, it did. And listen, basketball's not supposed to be a contact sport. But if you watch the play, and if you watch enough NBA, you'll realize it does get very physical. So, you know, when there's a foul shot, there's a lot of kind of pushing and shoving between the biggest guys on the court to try and get position for a rebound off a missed shot. And that's what happened here with LeBron and Isaiah Stewart. Now, was it reckless by LeBron? Yeah. I don't think he meant to hurt him or hit him. But you're fighting. You're kind of grabbing the other guy, kind of fighting for position. LeBron is one of the strongest guys in the league. And he kind of got his arm free and trying to push Stewart away. He caught him in the eye. And as you said, the theatrics of Stewart was what made everyone take notice of this. As you said, it was like a wrestling match, you know, where it's all kind of choreographed and it was like, you know, hold me back and then you go at him and then you're holding him back and then you go at him. So you mentioned LeBron got kicked out of the game. Only the second time in his career he got kicked out of the game, but he was given a one-game suspension for it. Stewart, remember the guy who got hit, was given a two-game suspension because of what you mentioned, Paul, him kind of constantly trying to go back at LeBron.
Yeah, he's had an eventful week, LeBron James, because on Wednesday they played the Pacers and he had a fantastic night, got 39 points, but then had a couple of people kicked out, didn't he? Fans ejected from the court side.
Yeah, not the first time he's had that done. And, you know, for all you can say about LeBron, a lot of people say he is very thin-skinned. So you can get to him, you know, for fans at the game. Oh, and that once you know you've got to a player, guys, I don't care what the sport is, you're going to keep doing it. So that's why fans keep doing it. Should say, too, guys, the rematch between the Pistons and Lakers, Isaiah Stewart and LeBron, will be this Sunday night.
Ooh.
In LA. So it'll be something to watch. It's funny. I don't expect anything. unlike ice hockey, where you would expect some sort of fight, or baseball, where you'd expect the pitcher to throw at the hitter, I don't think you're going to get something like that this Sunday night.
Wow.
You like but those said, seats are really expensive, the courtside seats. It's not like they got thrown out from the cheap seats or something like that. So they can't have been happy, those people. But well, who knows what they did.
Yeah, who knows? They said stuff. He said it, what they said went beyond just, you know, a joshing of an opponent. But anyway, the Army play the Navy at football every year. And there seems there's a bit of a tradition of the Army trying to kidnap the Navy's goat mascot, but it went pear-shaped. They got the wrong goat, Todd, apparently.
Yeah, they kidnapped a retired goat, the retired mascot. I didn't know there were retired goat mascots. Hey, the things you learn being on this show.
Yeah.
But yes, the retired mascot was kidnapped by the Army cadets. So listen, guys, no truth to the rumor that those cadets have not been heard from since. I'm joking about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess it broke a code. So they've been going back and forth where they try and steal the other team's mascot before the big game. And I guess years ago, they kind of called the truce. And I guess this broke the code. So Navy's been kind of saying, hey, you know, this broke the code. This is not what's supposed to happen.
Hmm.
So we'll wait to see the fallout. The game between the two of them, and it is the biggest game of all the kind of military institutions in the U.S. The game is December 11th between Army and Navy.
Wow. Now, it was Thanksgiving, yes, and they had the Thanksgiving game. And well,
three games,
but there's all the Lions always, the Detroit Lions always have to play on Thanksgiving Day. It's a bit of a running joke, and there's a fair bit of hate around it, and people taking the mickey, and including Bill Maher, whose fine show Real Time, talked about it in his new rules section. Listen to this.
New rule, let's end the tradition where one of the football teams on Thanksgiving Day has to be the Detroit Lions for a very important reason. Pretending that this is a must-see game is key to how we avoid talking to our families for 3 hours. It's hard to tell Uncle Phil. You know, I'd love to learn more about how the Rothschilds are microchipping Trump supporters, but the Lions are on. I mean, he's gullible. He's not that gullible.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it's always the Lions. And true to form, they lost again, didn't they?
They did. They lost with a field goal with 1 second left in the game. So they lost to the Bears. And I think 2016 is the last time they've won on Thanksgiving. So the tradition goes back, guys, to 1934. The owner of the Lions then is credited with saying, hey, we have a chance to, I would like us to play on a holiday. So before that, you didn't play on a holiday. And he's been credited with saying, hey, we would like the chance to play on the holiday. Now, let's be honest, guys, the holidays now are about sports. Every holiday has a sporting event on it. Hmm. So I think the NFL is kind of saying, hey, here's a guy who had a great idea that we're now all using. So we owe them the tradition of being on Thanksgiving. You know, they are losing late, but sports is like that. Like, they're in a bad time, are the Lions, and it has been kind of for about the last two decades. But it probably isn't always going to be like this. At some point, fingers crossed, they're going to be good again, and they won't be the butt of all these jokes. The Cowboys also, since 1966, they've been kind of a regular fixture on the holidays and they on Thanksgiving, and they lost again. So, you know...
Good stuff.
Give it time. The Lions will win again, I'm hoping, on Thanksgiving.
Now, sticking with Thanksgiving, a lot of the players and coaches were asked about what they have at the Thanksgiving table.
Hmm.
And, you know, they just sort of went through a list of food. But a guy called Matthew Judon, who plays for the Patriots, an outside linebacker, he went into one during the press conference when he was asked, and he's violently opposed to one of the side dishes. This is what he said.
We got to get macaroni and cheese off the table. All right, guys, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Get a macaroni and cheese off the table, and it'd be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody in the house. And you know how they say, like, oh, your taste buds change every 7 years. You just got to – every time I try it, it's the same thing. And it's never going to change, and it's never going to get better. If you want to have a good Thanksgiving – don't cook macaroni and cheese.
Strangely. Really, I love the idea that he's getting on his soap opera.
Yeah, he's getting on his soap opera.
Yes.
It really bothered him, didn't it, that?
I didn't realize this was such a big deal, but this year I saw multiple people talking about macaroni and cheese and should it be a part of Thanksgiving. I never knew this was a debate. It obviously wasn't a traditional dish, but recently has become a staple for a lot of people for Thanksgiving in the U.S. But just as passionate as this guy was, I've heard passionate people the other way saying it has to be a part of Thanksgiving. Wow. So it's crazy that it's mac and cheese that has divided so many people on Thanksgiving.
Divided a nation.
I've got a weakness for that disgusting American macaroni cheese that comes in a box with that orange, like fluorescent orange sauce.
It's, really?
It should be disgusting.
Kraft dinner.
Yeah,
is that's Kraft
the
word.
I was going
to name the Kraft dinners. Oh, wow. You love them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why so healthy?
Have to get you some sent over, Andy.
Yeah, you can buy them. Yeah, I found a place that sells them here.
Oh, okay. Nice one, Tom. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks a lot.
See you, boys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. Andy, we'll do it all again on Monday.
Looking forward to
picking
it.
Over the football and lots more besides. Do hope you can join us then from one. If not, the podcast will be available at four. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.